Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are live on Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life's transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. I am your host, Sean Douglas, and with me today is Aaron Watson. Aaron, are you here?
Yes. Hello?
Outstanding. So Aaron Watson hosts and produces the podcast Going Deep. His half-hour episodes are comprised of meaningful, deep conversations with writers, entrepreneurs, coaches, and innovators about the passions, fears, and problems they have faced. Aaron has interviewed best-selling authors Chris Guillebeau, Tucker Max, and Kevin Kelly, visionary entrepreneurs Henry Thorne and Dennis Mortensen, and revered finance writers Barry Ritholtz, Ben Carlson, and Morgan Housel. Listeners tune in around the globe for insights, stories, and wisdom. While attending the University of Pittsburgh, Aaron played 4 years of Division I Ultimate Frisbee, winning 2 national championships and all-region honors. He then went on to captain the Pittsburgh Thunderbirds, a top-ranked team in the Midwest Division of the American Ultimate Disc League, for their 2 inaugural seasons. Aaron also serves as VP of Sales for TopScore, a fast-growing SaaS startup. TopScore builds solutions to help sports organizations with league administration and member management services. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Man, we're working through some technical difficulties, man, but we'll get her done. So, I got to ask you, man, like, why did you decide to do what you're doing now? Sounds like you were killing it at the University of Pittsburgh and playing as a high-functioning athlete. So why do you do what you do now?
Well, the big thing for me has always been, be willing to do the work that others won't. That's a work ethic I was taught really from my parents. They both, escaped like lower-income houses, homes to create a real nice life for themselves. They gave me a huge opportunity, and I always kind of felt like I was getting passed a baton that I had to be responsible for and really execute on. So everything I'm doing is just trying to differentiate myself and, the law of marginal advantage, read more than my peers, work a little bit harder, and get some better results as a result of that.
Perfect. Love everything about that. So who was Aaron Watson like before you got to this point? Like who were you before your transformation?
Before my transformation, I mean, so the big kind of inflection point for me was starting the podcast. And before the podcast, I still had a lot of the values. I mean, you get a lot of your values installed at such a young age. It's hard to, I think it's actually hard to make too drastic of kind of like a night and day change. But the big thing for me was being okay with sharing a part of my life, whether that be, on my show, on the podcast, on social media, or just in general, like putting a message out there and kind of positively interacting with the world, as opposed to kind of just letting it come to me. I realize how much impact or influence any person can have if they're willing, once again, to put in the work, but also just have a point of view. I think it's really easy to kind of fall into the habit of playing like charged word, but like politically correct. I don't mean
sure.
Like saying uncouth things, but I mean, like, if you have a point of view about how things should be, that's much more compelling than the person who just kind of nods along and agrees with everything. One of my favorite questions is, What's one of your beliefs or one of the things that you buy into that's pretty crazy and other people would not agree with? And that kind of gets, I don't know, it's a fun thought experiment. And I think that it you to have a point of view on things.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's absolutely an amazing question. And man, I don't even know how I answer that. what do I buy into? I guess I'd have to buy into my own stuff, but I mean, there's other people that I follow and other people that I listen to. I think that I buy into their message as well. That's wow, man. I never really thought about it that way. So looking back, go ahead.
I was just going to say one thing I really like, I'll tell people, I believe in destiny. Like when I think every day, like I believe in fate and destiny. And for some people that takes the wind out of their sails. For some people that's like, oh, everything's like, you know, whatever's predetermined. I shouldn't get out of bed. And for me, it's the exact opposite. If you buy into the end result is going to be what you did every single day. And that is destiny. A favorite athlete, Kobe Bryant going and taking 100 extra shots every single day is the reason he's one of the best basketball players of all time. That fate is when you buy into that and you say like, I have a fate, I have a destiny. Other people kind of like raise an eyebrow at you. Like that's kind of nuts. But for me, that's part of the edge. And that's like, that's one example. I was in a long car ride when we were debating that a little bit. And that's just one of my favorite examples, but sorry, I cut you off. You had another question.
That's awesome. Oh yeah. No, thanks for explaining that, man. That really puts it into perspective and clarifies it all, man. That's very true, man. If you give that extra effort, man, it's like take an extra 5 minutes, take an extra 20, you know what I mean? Do something extra that no one else is doing. Like I know, you know, we were talking when I was on your show, I mean, people that, you know, they work 9 to 5 and they go home from their job, and that's it. You know what I mean? But other people, like entrepreneurs and other people, I mean, it's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock. They're still working. They're still preparing. They're still doing something related to the pursuit of their dreams and goals and ambitions in life. You know what I mean? So, yeah, definitely agree with everything you were saying. So looking back, what do you think exactly was your transformation? You know, like how did you get to this point? What was that vehicle?
So the big one for me was first putting a piece of content out into the world for people to consume. And I've kind of talked about this before, but you know, if you look at Snapchat as like the social media du jour these days, and everyone gets super excited about the roots of Snapchat outside of the sexting app, I don't want to get into that, but is a piece of social media where you don't have to be serious and you, it all disappears. And that was the big appeal because for a lot of people, they want to be ironic or silly or embarrassing or goofy. And there's a time and place for that. Like if I'm with my family and I'm, you know, being a silly version of myself that I don't necessarily show the rest of the world, there's a time and place for that. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you had a generation almost afraid to be really earnest and serious and kind of forthright in what they were trying to do. Because when you have that kind of like shadows and you have the ephemeral nature of things, you act a little bit more silly. And so for me, making that transition into I'm going to create something that is going to be around a decade from now. Like when I release one of my episodes, one of the things I think about is someone could come back to this in 10 years and listen to it. So not only do I not want to like put my foot in my mouth, but I want to create something of lasting value, hopefully. And when you have that was the big transition for me was I'm trying to make something that my kids might listen to. I'm trying to make something that I can proudly display a decade from now. And that's really hard. You know, I'm 25. I started the show when I was 23. And there's not a lot of folks in my exact age bracket who are thinking that way, who are focused on those type of things. And the people that are, I just, you know, you hit a next level with them in terms of vibing and having the same vision. But there's a lot of people who are very content to, you know, with that extra time that we all have, whether it's on the weekends or in the evenings, they'd rather be at the bar or vegging out in front of the TV than
video
trying to make something that it's creative. It's art. I see the interview as art. And that transition of making something lasting and seeing myself to some degree as a creative, as an artist, is the biggest transformation for me, because I always identified as the athlete. I never identified as the creative or the artist.
Got it. Man, so what do you think was the best part about it all, though? If you had when you look back, you know, what do you think was, like, this is the pinnacle. Like, this was the best part about my decision.
I mean, the best part about the decision was the excitement that I brought to every day. So you were very honest when you came on my show, Sean, and talked about your kind of battles with depression and finding purpose and vision. And mine isn't quite the same, but there was a similar story of feeling a little lost. For me, it was more when I was actually in college and really struggling with finding like being able to sleep and being able to kind of calm my mind or get excited about the work that I was doing, because I was still thinking in long term. I was still thinking, like, you know, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, but there wasn't a positive angle. There wasn't something that I was really genuinely excited about. And in some cases I was going through the motions. And I actually have memories. We were winning tournaments like during the regular season. And there's like a memory that I have that I can't really get out of, which was looking around and seeing how joyous everyone else was. And I didn't feel any of that excitement. And that was when I kind of really had like a realization that I need to fix something, because this is not normal. This is not right. And for a lot of people, when you have that negative feeling, it's really easy to say to yourself, or to not even realize that this isn't normal, because it's all you know.
Right.
And when you start to actually have that relativity of, oh, these, like, not everyone feels the way I feel right now. What can I do to change the script for myself? That was a big part of it. But creating something, putting something out into the world that was for other people. So my episodes are for someone else, whether that's, you know, a recent grad who doesn't know what they want to do, or someone looking for a career change, or someone who wants to write their first book, or someone who wants to, you know, once again, I'm using my kids as an example. Like, I don't have any kids, but one day they're going to listen to some of these episodes and learn more about their father through this vehicle. And when you start doing something for someone else, there's a different, for me, that's what unlocked a lot of the creativity. If I was just making it for myself, you know, I'd probably interview like the same 10, I don't know if that's necessarily true, but like I'd interview a different group of people. We'd have a different type of conversation. Maybe we just like talk about basketball all the time, but sharing messages like yours, like all the guests that you mentioned in the intro, that is what is really going to be meaningful for other people. And that kind of outward focus is what I really need, instead of just kind of rolling over and over again inside my own head.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we learn so much from other people outside of maybe what we're doing, or sometimes we meet somebody who's like, wow, I never really thought about things that way. You know, they're an innovator, disruptor, creator, you know, however, you know, they get labeled. But it all comes down to, man, if we're not learning and if we're not growing, then we're dying. And I believe that when you are in an interview or talking to somebody or what have you, I mean, you're constantly, you know, if your heart and mind is open, man, you're learning like all the time. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I actually feel like I can see it in people's eyes. So like there'll be friends I haven't seen in a while, and you kind of, you touch base with them and you're excited to see them. You've known them a long time, but you can see that energy when you look them in the eye. Do they have a mission or do they not? And people feed off of that. And I had a friend, we actually played on the Thunderbirds for 2 years. He set the single season goal scoring record. And
wow.
He was talking about that, about the energy of someone who walks into the room and how you, like, there's people who walk in a room and you literally don't even notice them. And then there's
right.
folks that just command attention. And it's having something of real meaning that you're working on. And when someone talks about that, like you're talking about learning, I always like the idea of what can your mission lead you to learn? And so another friend, I just keep using examples here, but he's building this massive network of websites called Active Cities that tells people where they can go be active in their town. I think he has it in like 9 cities so far, but it started in Pittsburgh, and he taught himself this massive guide on search engine optimization, SEO, which is like
wow.
a marketing, is not exciting. Like this, it's not like a riveting. I personally, like I've tried to learn it. It's very similar to me
yep.
to accounting, where it's just like you got to do it. It's a very valuable skill to have, but it is not fascinating. But he
but
had this
so
mission.
Hard to
build
master.
For,
so exactly. hard to master.
He had a mission to learn it because of this project that he's working on. And he's now, I don't want to say a master of SEO, but he knows SEO because he had to teach himself it. And he redid his entire network of sites. And now he could probably, you know, teach me an hour lesson on it. And he'd never have taught himself that if he didn't have a mission that he was working on. If he didn't have like a project with an end goal and a ton of invested time. He'd already put so much into it. And so that's the other magic part of, you know, the people who are learning and seem to always be like bringing up something new. To me, what
right.
I consistently find is they have some sort of driver behind that learning. They're learning for a purpose, for
mm-hmm.
a reason. And eventually it gets into the area of I just love learning, and it's stimulating to kind of pick up the next book and whatever it may be. But when you have that purpose behind it, that's really where the magic starts to happen.
Oh yeah, completely agree, man. Couldn't have said it better. Yeah, you gotta have that backing, man. So if we don't, all will not be lost, but all will, I feel like it won't be the same. It'll be all for nothing. So with that said, what do you think was the worst part about your journey, or what was the worst part about the transformation that you've gone through?
I struggle with like an explicit worst part. The one part I kind of reference friends, I'll say that friends and family don't always understand. And I think that, I mean, that's part of the reality of the situation, but there's no framework for, you're trying to start a location independent business, you're podcasting, what's a podcast, you're doing these different things that don't traditionally like there's no path for success. If I was working, let's just say in a bank, and I said, you know, I started off as a teller and then I became, you know, next level up a manager, then another manager. Now I'm a regional, whatever. People have a very right. clear framework for the path up that ladder. And so it's very easy to say, I did this. Oh, that's great. I understand. Congratulations. But there's like when I say, you know, I landed Kevin Kelly as a guest and I love his writing about futurism and all this other stuff. Like, that's a really big moment for me. But it's not necessarily like I can quantify this means I get
right.
$2,000 more a month or something like that. It's just like, no, this is I'm going to get to learn from this guy. I'm going to have a conversation. You know, I might be able to leverage this into more big interviews, what have you.
Sure.
But that's not necessarily a framework that a lot of people have and can appreciate. So the lack of understanding from friends and family, not immediate family, like parents, girlfriend, like they get it because I talk about it so much mm-hmm. and they really care to ask all the questions. But like the cousin who's at Thanksgiving and they like kind of ask a question that they don't have any idea what's going on, which is fine. But that's probably the worst part of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm identifying with you exactly, man, because, you know, when I first started this, you know, the show, I was like, man, I mean, I know a ton of people. I mean, I know at least 20 or 30 people that I know would love to come on the show, you know, but how do I quantify, you know, I had this person. Like, I mean, each person is very different, and each person brings their own value and their own package, you know what I mean? And delivers in such a way that, you know, inspires people. So, I mean, how do I even quantify that? Like, I got Tom Ziegler coming on the show in a couple of weeks. You know, I'm like, oh my God, this is huge. But I mean, I don't even know what the translation would that be. You know what I mean? Or like, you know, I got Greg Reed, the author of 3 Feet from Gold. He's going to come on the show. I'm like, well, that's like huge. How do I quantify that? Like what would be the result? And I mean, yeah. So I'm identifying that with you. And some of my friends are like, why are you doing that? Like, because like, it's something in me that wants to get this information out there to the masses. And I feel like I have a lot to say, you know? but yeah, people just don't, they just don't understand. They're like, oh, well, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. It's tricky.
Yeah. So speaking of those people that maybe don't understand, you know, why you do what you do, because I mean, our why has always got to be the forefront. So speaking of those, who has been your biggest influencer throughout your transformation? Like who has been pushing you?
So I see pushing is kind of a hard part because I feel very like self-motivated to kind of push myself
Sure.
and attack different areas. I mean, there's mm-hmm. so many other folks like online that you learn from, you take little pieces from. But I mean, the biggest influence is probably my dad. He'll listen and give me very, you know, tough feedback on what's going on, and the episodes and the interviews and what have you. But I struggle to name necessarily like a biggest influencer. I'm kind of a shameless stealer of everyone I come across, like, you know, take this, leave that, and on to the next
Sure.
one.
Yeah. So who's been your biggest supporter then?
I would say the women in my life, my girlfriend, my mother, they're just, you know, uber supportive and very positive in whatever endeavors I go after. I'm very, very lucky that they both, you know, ride or die, support me whatever I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
So they're
very
good. Lucky there.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, that's the big part, is finding not only people that influence us and elevate us and help us, but also finding those people that will support and identify with kind of what we're doing and maybe share in the joys, especially when it's like a family member and a spouse or girlfriend or somebody, boyfriend, you know, they, you know, we want them to, you know, share in the joys and kind of feel what we feel when, you know, we land this like amazing episode, you know, like, man, this one really felt awesome. You know what I mean? And they're like, yep, cool. Like, that's all you get. And you're like, no, you don't even understand. And then it's like, yeah, you're right. So, you know, I feel like, you know, you know, when it comes to supporters, you know, it's, I mean, I don't need a cheerleader, but I mean, it'd be nice to just go, you know what, nice job, man. I'm, you know, proud of you. And it's kind of like, it goes back to like affirmations and whatnot. You know, we want to feel like we're providing value. I don't think anybody just wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I think I just want to suck at everything today. I'm just going to provide no value to anybody. I'm going to suck today, you know, and fail at everything. Like, I don't believe that anybody, you know, does that ever, you know. But I think that we always look for approval, you know, when it comes to our supporters and influencers. You know, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that that's something you have to get over. Like, at the same time, as much as they support me, like, no one was pushing me to start a podcast.
Okay.
No one was pushing me to, like, get into Ultimate Frisbee and you know, win national championships and play semi-professionally. Like, those were all things I was very motivated by. And as great as it is to have that supporter, I don't necessarily, like, I don't think whatever it is you're going to go after can come from some external person just like telling you what it is. Like, you have to really look inward and be very self-aware for what you're trying to accomplish, what you're trying to build, and go after that. Like, so for me, I had pretty major hip surgery after my junior year of college. We just won our second national championship, and I was basically out for the entire fall. The main season's in the spring, so I was just basically rehabbing like every day. And I could have, you know, hung them up, or after I was done, kind of slowed down. And I had some voices in my life saying, you know, consider not playing. You want to be able to walk around when you're 40, 50. You don't want to grind your body into the dirt. And there's an old Minnesota running back, Robert Smith, who was really, really good, but he retired at 28, when a lot of these football players who are really talented go into their 30s, and then, you know, you see they can barely walk in their 40s or something. And in his press conference at his retirement, he said, "I'd rather walk away early than limp away late." And that was a pretty powerful message for me to get as a young person, because I think I was only like 10 or 12. He's one of my favorite players at the time. And I really had to meditate on that. And what I came to was, if I didn't play a few seasons with the Thunderbirds, I would regret that. Like that's a kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity to play a semi-professional sport, my favorite sport, in front of a crowd, travel the country, all this other stuff. But, you know, now this year I'm actually taking off from playing, because the reality is the miles start to catch up, which is another crazy thing to say, because once again, I'm only 25, but they do start to add up. And it's not like I'm not in the NBA. It's not going to set me up for life monetarily.
Right.
So I'm reallocating that time to the endeavors that will be a part of my life for the next few decades. So I kind of got off track of the question that you were asking me, but that was another story. Where was I going with that? Help me out.
No, I mean, it was just talking about, you know, where the support and the motivation, and, you know, where does it all come from? You know what I mean? And I'm kind of like you, man. I'm a self-motivator. Like, I don't really need people to motivate me, because I'm pretty self-motivated. But it just always helps in times of, you know, uncertainty. Like, man, I'm not sure if I can really do this, or, man, am I really meant to do this? Is this a really good decision? It's just kind of nice to bounce things off of people and not just say, yep, I'm going to do this, and, you know, and not really think it through, because I have a habit of doing that. I got some shiny object syndrome sometimes. Like, ooh, got to have this website. And, ooh, I want to do this. And, oh, I got to have this. And, oh, I might as well have that too, because everybody else has that. And, ooh, I got to have this. Instead of concentrating on, like, one thing at a time and slowing down, I don't do that. I just – I want it all now, and just jump in head first, feet first, whatever. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's
so
hard to stay focused.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so it's kind of hard to stay focused sometimes. So do you feel like your transformation is complete?
No. I mean, that's a Charlie Munger quote, I think, is any year you don't change one of your most deeply held beliefs is not a good year. The best years are ones where you shatter one of your most deeply held beliefs. So I'm always looking for that next breakthrough, that next reframing of, you know, how I do my work, what my priorities are. And I see it as an ongoing process of many revolutions and evolutions. So the really big breakthroughs are rarer, it seems, these days, but the small ones, they just keep coming. The more you study it's a snowball. You keep getting little bits and pieces that you put together. And from there, you know, once you get the momentum going, it's just,
oh yeah,
keep on growing.
Absolutely. So speaking of momentum, where are you headed now, man? Like, you got some new adventures coming, businesses, family, getting married soon. Like, what's on the horizons, man?
So the big thing is I'm calling you from Thailand right now. So for the year 2017, I am traveling around Southeast Asia with my girlfriend. We're doing, you know, all remote work, all location independent. That's something that we've been working towards for over a year, like having the ability to work from anywhere on all our stuff.
That's insane.
We are obviously dependent on internet connection, but that's something that,
right.
I mean, travel to us is not only just something that we really enjoy, but coming back to that evolution of the mind idea and being able to think outside the box and have these experiences. Like when you can put, you know, growing up in Pittsburgh next to watching people who live here in Chiang Mai, Thailand, or these other places, it's just going to make you more creative and be able to see more points of view and think more empathetically. And so in addition to just being, you know, we want to engineer lives where we're not stuck in a physical location and have these other values. This is really just amazing practice. We're learning a ton. And we're in Thailand now. We're going to hit Vietnam,
wow.
Hong Kong, Taiwan, Australia, Indonesia, and Singapore at the very least. I think got a couple on the
That's
list.
That's awesome.
Like,
are you doing like concurrently? Like you're going from there to there to there to there to there?
Yeah. So we had a 2-month lease here in Chiang Mai that's coming to an end. Then we're going to go down to Bangkok for a little bit, and then we're going to be in Hong Kong for a few weeks and just kind of keep on rolling.
It's
everything that we own right now. We each have a suitcase and a backpack, and that's everything. So I've got like my mic here that takes up precious space. I've got like 7 pairs of socks or something. I don't know. We do laundry every week, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a lot of fun.
Wow, dude, I am like, man, that is amazing. Like, I didn't even see that coming.
Yeah. I wanted to save a curveball here for you that I figured I'd throw in.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Wow. Yeah, I've been to a couple different, you know, countries overseas just because, you know, with the military, but not just to hang out and actually work. Man, that's awesome. So all the listeners out there, man, that was like mic drop. By the way, I'm calling you from, you know, all these different countries I'm going to be visiting and stuff. So that's amazing. So if you have any questions for Aaron, you can call in at 657-383-1109. The call-in number, again, is 657-383-1109. So if you had to go back, would you change anything or would you do anything differently than what you've already done?
I would there's all sorts of things that I see as, you know, when I'm a father, how I will reframe or maybe do differently. Not that my parents messed up, but just in the modern world, I think there's kind of different structures. Like I'm not a huge believer in college. I'm not a huge believer in really like a lot of the things in the public school system. I'm not in love with. I met some of the, two of the most impressive I met are homeschooled. And so I'm kind of leaning towards that being the way to do things. But I don't, when I catch myself looking back too much, like what would I change personally about my journey? I tend to spend a little bit of time on that. And then I just kind of look, you know, think to myself, that's a waste of time. I don't want to spend too much energy on that and really be kind of forward or hopefully present focused, but more likely forward focused. So I don't have a great answer to that. I wish that I hadn't had the love of reading kind of out of me, that I had to refine more recently, but that's about all I have. If you don't have a reading habit, Kevin Kelly, I referenced him before. He says you read 12 books a year, it will fundamentally change your life. I shoot a little bit higher than that, but for a lot of folks, you know, I think it's the average American reads 1 or 2 books a year. A lot of people don't read at all. And when you get started, like the two things there are, don't worry about completion. Like if you don't like the book you're reading, don't just stop reading because you feel obligated to finish it. That's another thing you learn from school, that you have to like read every page or finish the book. You don't have to. If you don't like the book, put it down, find another one. Also, don't worry about like picking up, you know, the Iliad or something like super big and dense and some massive commitment. Like if you love, I don't know, what's like one of those Hunger Games or something like that. That's just
oh,
like,
yeah.
you know, main, like it doesn't have to be like the biggest self-help book, the first book you pick up, or like the biggest like history of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. As you read and as you build the skills of, you know, actually paying attention to something for more than 15 seconds, like scrolling through your Twitter feed or something, actually like doing deep work and reading for an extended period of time, you'll eventually just kind of level up and go after bigger fish with your reading habit. So don't start too intense and don't feel obligated to complete a book.
Definitely, dude. 1,000% completely agree with you, man. Like, we just pulled our 13-year-old out of middle school. He's in seventh grade, and he was just kind of withdrawn, and I don't know, he just wasn't enjoying it and get bullied sometimes, and, you know, he wouldn't turn in his homework, or it was just like, I don't know if it was the structure, I don't know kind of what it was, but he's just like, I just don't want to go to school. Like, I hate school, and I was the same way. I mean, I hated school. I graduated high school with like a 2.0. Like I had zero plans to go to college because I always felt like, why am I going to go to college to learn things and then go and apply them in a work? Like, I didn't want to work. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to do something that I loved, kind of like an entrepreneur. I wanted to do something that I loved kind of independently, with not having to do just the daily grind, the 9-to-5, the corporate America, you know, whatever. And that was me in high school. So I just decided to join the military. You know, I was like, well, next best thing, join the military. And, you know, if I want to go to college and get a degree, then, you know, I get free college. So what I found out later on was that I was absolutely correct, that colleges is like a pipeline, and they're just piping students in, giving them a degree that they may or may not even use, and then piping them right into corporate America. And so my philosophy now is that I don't advocate college for anybody. If that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. Like, have fun with that. You can get you can actually go to college and study entrepreneurship, business management, business. If you're gonna go to college, get a degree that you can use by yourself. That it's not one of those I must have this to get this person's job. Unless that's what you want to do, then you go ahead and do that. But I mean, entrepreneurship is dying out, man. I mean, it's not a lot of people are living the lives that they want to because they're stuck 9-to-5 every day. Like, and I knew right off the bat I was not doing that. There was no way that I was ever doing that. So, yeah, man, I don't advocate for college either. I think college is piping students in, making them operators, and basically putting them to work in corporate America and whatever else instead of using their individual creativity to create something amazing in the world and put it out to put value into the world. That's just okay.
Yeah,
rant over.
I think that I totally agree. And I think that, you know, there's certain arenas where you can get a really strong education, but I mean, even the, you know, engineering in particular, I think there's a lot of value there.
Sure.
And you do get
architect,
that investment.
Yep.
And if that's what you're looking to do. But at the same time, I'm a huge proponent of gap years. I'm a huge proponent of starting to actually try some sort of projects, you know, whether that's in high school. Like, I had a job as soon as I was 16. And I knew the value. Oh, I thought I knew the value of a dollar. I didn't quite know it, but I knew it better than a lot of my peers and friends. There was examples of in high school, we'd have a party and I would get up and I worked at a bakery and I was there at like 7 or 8 a.m. in the morning. And all the friends would roll out of bed and then show up and like get a bagel at like 11. And they'd be like, oh my God, Watson, like you're here. That's crazy. Like, when did you get up and all this other stuff? And, you know, one of the things that was born of that is, you know, I didn't love all the debt that I had to get to go to school, but I was adamant that I was going to be done in 4 years because I was not going to add even one semester. You're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars added to that student loan debt, or at least the cost. And so having that appreciation and an appreciation for efficiency and, you know, financial control is a huge, huge part of that. So I'm a huge proponent of a gap year. I'm a huge proponent of doing some sort of work before you actually go to school, because I don't think that I don't think that college is the place to figure that out. I think that it's the place to go execute once you know what you want to do. Like, if you know, I want to be a chemical engineer, then you go for it. Or if you say, I know that I want to go to like the Berklee School of Music because, you know, I know the education there is top notch and I want to, you know, learn from this professor and I want to do this, that, and the other thing. Great. But if you're showing up and you have no idea what you want to do and you're going to spend 2 years taking gen eds and then you're just going to pick a major because, well, it's time to pick a major, like, that is not, mm-hmm. that is not the path in the modern age. That was the path a generation ago. That credential was going to get you in and going to get you a great job. But these days it's much more about show than tell. You have to show the work you can do. So like, my podcast has opened doors. Led to different business opportunities. It's built my network, gotten me jobs, and that being able to show, like, this, look at this work I did. I've, you know, done this for 2 years. I follow through. Like, those are the values that people are looking for, and that is much more represented in the work that I've done than the credential of like literally I've gotten two jobs, like with some freelance work in the last, I don't know, 2 months. And neither of them asked me what school I went to or if I went to school or I went to college. Like, they straight up don't care. So when you realize that, then you realize that it's more about do projects, be able to show someone something that you've actually completed. And that's going to be a lot more meaningful in the long run for finding work.
Completely agree.
Employment.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know so many more people that have dropped out of college and are making six figures. Like, I knew this is one guy. His name's Gonzalo Corzo, and it's my friend Diego's brother. I guess we're all friends. But anyway, so it's my friend Diego's brother, right? This guy is in college, 20 years old. He's like, you know what? I don't want to do this no more, and drops out, right? Drops out of college. And you would think his parents would be, like, super mad. He'd shame his family. But he found a guy like just in, because his older brother, Diego's in a group with some highly, highly successful people. And so he goes over and says, look, I'm dropping out of college. I will work for free. Teach me what you know in this business. Like, this is kind of what I want to go into. Teach me everything you know. And literally they taught him everything he knows. And he worked for free. Of course, you know, give him some money and, you know, whatever every once in a while. But he basically worked for free. And then whatever deals or whatever money in real estate or whatever he was doing made them money, then he would get kind of a commission. So they started him off slow, and like 2-3 years later, I mean, the kid is crushing it. And I don't know any other 22 or 23 year old that has a six figure income. Like I don't know a one, you know, I mean, the kid is crushing it, multiple six figure income. And the kid dropped out of college. I mean, I know so many more successful people that dropped out of college than people who were actually going to college. I mean, I know so many more broke students, and so, you know, what made me mad about college deal was that you're literally going to go to college and then have hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, or maybe like 100 and whatever thousand, however long you go, you're literally going to leave school with student debt at the very bottom of the total pool. Like, that sucks, you know? So not a great system.
Yeah.
So, what
totally
was
agree.
The best resource? Yeah. So what was the best resource that you found during your transformation, the whole process? Like, what was the best resource that you found?
Silence and long walks. It's kind of tied to what I briefly mentioned before,
okay.
of like people getting lost in a Twitter feed or an Instagram feed or something where you're just kind of consuming. And there's some networking book. I don't remember the author or the exact title, but it's like, you know, everyone that you need to know is the general idea. Like, you don't have to go out and like network and try to like connect with these people. It's like, you just have to find the people within your existing network that you need. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great metaphor for that. Also, you have a lot of the answers internally. Like, you might not know SEO, but in terms of kind of understanding, like, this is what I should be working on, this is what I could see myself actually working on in 10 years. Like, you have a lot of those types of answers, and not necessarily like what you'll be working on in 10 years, but how to go about putting process goals in place and a vision in place, and looking inward. It takes silence. It takes, you know, I'm a big fan of taking a long walk, but that that is my best form of meditation. Like, I'm not great at the just sitting still and, you know, aligning your chakras or whatever that version of meditation is.
Right.
But the long walks alone for me are immensely clarifying and focusing.
That's awesome. So who gave you the best resource during your journey, and what was it? It kind of goes back to the supporter deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's tough. So I had a coach on the Ultimate Frisbee team who really talked about that silence and long walks giving him a lot of clarity. And that was a big motivator for me to go in that direction. But it's all over the board. It's actually really hard to like place each piece of advice. And when I got it, I had another coach who, you know, I thought it was going to be like overnight sensation. Like, I'm going to start this and in 4 months, I'm going to be like this baller professional podcast. He was like, it's probably going to take a little bit longer than that for you to meet all your goals there, Aaron. And that was, I mean, I needed that kind of wake up call. Like, I was the arrogant 23-year-old. I was like, oh, I'm going to just crush it. I'm going to be, you know, Zuckerberg or whatever. And that's, that took a little bit of, it set me up for the reality of the situation. And I'm very thankful for that. And there was, a lot of, you know, kind of tough love embedded in that. So those are the two big ones that come to mind.
That's awesome. So here's your chance, man. Shameless plug. You can plug friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, movies, like drink Coke, you know, whatever. Like, give me your podcast. I don't care. Give me a shameless plug. Plug something or somebody.
Sure. So I send out a newsletter once a month. And that is, you know, that is a bunch of shameless plugs, but I also know that it delivers some serious value because I get people emailing me about it all the time, how much they enjoy it. And it's goingdeepwithaaron.com/join if you want to sign up. But the general idea there is it's only once a month. So it's not like a lot of the other email lists that are out there where it's like every day and it gets into your spam folder or whatever, because you just, you don't open it and don't pay attention. I've amazing open rates, amazing click-through rates on that newsletter. And in it, I recommend one of my podcast episodes from the preceding month, another podcast episode from another show, the most interesting links I've found, the best book I read, and some other kind of just cool, interesting bits and pieces there, like interviews that I've done, other stuff like that, all summarized in one email. So in terms of, I actually did a poll the other day on Twitter and asked folks how often they are like pleased or satisfied with the content, the stuff that they're consuming, whether that's, you know, YouTube, Facebook, wherever they are. And a lot of people, they'd say, you know, somewhere between 25 and 75% of the time. Like, we're not 100% hit rate. And so what I'm looking to do with that newsletter is I'm giving you the best stuff that I've found. So just by definition, you're going to be an above average hit rate if you go and check out those links and, you know, that consume that content that I put together, because it's going to be, it's the best stuff I found over an entire month. So it's going to be above average for you. So that's my big ask. I don't think it's asking too much, but I think if you sign up for that newsletter, that'll be a valuable addition to your inbox. And hopefully you'll get some value from that.
That's awesome. Definitely. Give us the link one more time.
GoingDeepWithAaron.com/join.
Boom. That's awesome, man. So as we wrap up, give me the best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, or inspire somebody.
I'm going to do my best. The world is a fun, challenging, and inspiring place if you allow it to be. I've always, you know, the big
Love
piece
that.
Of advice my mom's always is, you know, it's all about your attitude that you bring to the situation. So, you know, I could okay, so I'm in Southeast Asia. It's warm here. I know, you know, a lot of my friends back in Pittsburgh and in the States, like, they're dealing with winter. It's actually been a mild winter from what I've heard, but you know, I could say, well, I've got this beautiful warm weather that I'm living in now. I'm in a tank top right now. But at the same time, there's a lot of bugs. Like I could go find the negative, or like, you know,
right.
It's not as clean of a city as what you might be used to in the States or wherever people are listening. But that's not what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on the amazing food that I'm eating, the new people I'm experiencing, the street markets, all this other cool stuff. It's what you allow your reality to be, and embracing that moment. And you know, I talked about being forward focused before. It's really about being happy in the present moment and what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
So allow
Dude,
the place,
awesome.
Allow the world to be that fun, challenging, and inspiring place.
Boom. Love it, man. That's words of wisdom right there. So would that be like your call to action? Like if you had to give a call to action to somebody, like would that be it right there? Like just allow the world, or look at the world in a way that, you know, it becomes that amazing, beautiful, challenging, wonderful, inspiring place.
Yeah, I like that as a call to action. The other thing that I was thinking about for the listener, Sean, was I think a lot about that idea that like we're not always in love with like how we're spending our time, and we value we should value our time so much.
Sure.
Like people say like time is money. I really think it should be you should place time ahead of money, because time
Absolutely.
Is a finite resource. We don't have much time on earth here. You can always make another dollar if you need to. And so I think a lot about that. And one of the things I was going to say, like as an offer I'd put out there. So you go to the newsletter. Great. I'm going to, you know, try to share my best stuff with you. But if people want to, I want to connect with people directly, the listeners. I do a call to action at the end of a lot of my episodes. And there's the rule of, I think it's 99-1, which is 90% of the people are lurkers. They never really say anything. And then 9% uh-huh. interact a little bit. And then 1% are going to be really, really active and vocal. And I'm looking
right.
for that other 90% particularly, but anyone who's listening who is someone looking to connect, if you connect with me directly, I'm sure you're going to link to it in show notes or whatever, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever, Aaron Watson 59, and you connect with me, I want to learn about who you are. And then I can make a specific recommendation for you, whether that's, you know, a great episode or a video or a personal connection. Like I've benefited so much from personal introductions that I'm always looking to kind of pass that along and spread the love a little bit. So yeah, I
sure.
want people to connect on a one-to-one basis and not like, oh, all right, I'm going to go lurk on his Instagram and follow him and not really interact. Like message me directly and let's actually make some sort of a connection, as opposed to, you know, just doing something superficial or, you know, finishing this piece of audio and then moving on to the next thing. Like let's actually have a connection.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I love those, you know, genuine, authentic, real, you know, those relationships that are formed, either through a common goal, a common mindset, a common journey path, whatever, like, when you build those types of relationships, those meaningful relationships, man, it's so much better. Like, I mean, you can accomplish so much more than just, you know, a 5 or 10 minute, you know, hey, how's it going? And that's the end of it. And I'll, you know, talk to you later and I'll never see you again and all that stuff. You know what I mean? When you build those genuine relationships and you're literally networking with somebody, man, you just never know, because people are put into our lives for a reason, a season, short time, long time, whatever. I mean, whatever reason that they're here, you know, they're there. You know what I mean? And they're there for a purpose and they're there for a reason. So we just got to figure out how and why. So, yeah.
Agreed.
Absolutely. So do you have any last words before we close out the show?
Make real connections, don't network.
There you go. Boom. Love it. Aaron Watson, everybody, if you want to connect with him again, you can go to Instagram. It's Aaron Watson 59. Twitter, Aaron Watson 59. And the website, Going Deep with Aaron, AARON, goingdeepwitharon.com/join. Dude, this has been so awesome, and I appreciate your time and nice mic drop earlier in the show. Like, you're calling from Thailand. Dude, that is amazing. So you got a wealth of knowledge, and you're just mid-20s too, man, and you are, like, living an epic freaking life, man, and I love it. So I appreciate your time, and, man, I wish you the best, bro.
Thanks for having me, man. I had a blast.
Thanks, man. So, Life Transformation listeners, stay tuned. Always stay tuned, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know who's going to show up. And as we close, I want you to remember to find opportunities to live out your values and be relentless in the pursuit of what sets your soul on fire. Always remember to live your brand. Thanks for listening. See you next time.